Alrighty.
There's a few things here I'm just going to leave over here. It's good to be here. My name is Matt Starin, and I'll give a short brief testimony in a few minutes. I'd ask you to go by our table and grab one of our new prayer cards, hot off the press recently. I did 1,000, Tar Heel design down there. A friend of mine that I went to Ambassador Baptist College, and what a blessing he is to me, and he did that for our family, and I sure appreciate his ministry. Last time we were here was 2007. Just to give you an update on the family. My wife, Satya, and I, we've been married for 23 years. She's still my best friend, and I still love her. Amen. And I miss her. I wish she was on the road. We just came back from a 19-day road trip. We've been in 7 meetings out of the 30. 25 supporting churches we're going to, and probably I have at least 5 or 6 more new churches we're going to go to before we head back. Satya and the girls will be going back mid-August, and I'll follow them in about 2 weeks. I have a new church I have to go to in Arizona, and then off to California, and then I'm going to give my son our car, our furlough car, and that'll be his first car. Speaking of Jake, Jake is 20 years old. He's my second oldest. He is at West Coast Baptist College, doing a great job out there, and he's a sophomore. He's starting to be a youth pastor. And I praise the Lord for the call of God on my son's life. And then Stephanie, she's my little nurse. She's a senior at Pensacola Christian College, and she graduates, Lord willing, on May 8th. She's doing her preceptorship at Sacred Heart Hospital there in Pensacola. And third shift, 3 to 4 times a week, 7 p.m., 7 a.m., oncology, nursing. And that's cancer. I didn't know. Cancer. I mean, I understand cancer, but I don't understand all those ologies when it comes to medical. That's a lot of stuff to remember. How many of y'all, you know, all that medical ology stuff when you go there and it's this and that? No. I said, honey, just give me the simple stuff. I'm just a South Jersey born. I was born in Trent, New Jersey. My parents divorced when I was 10 years old. I guess you can call it, I was Catholic. I really didn't go to the church that much. Didn't want anybody, pastor, to tell me what to do. So at the age of 18, I joined the United States Marine Corps. And God, he took me to Parris Island, South Carolina, where we were trained. And then my first duty station was a small island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Okinawa is 75 miles long. 15 miles wide, 1.5 million souls. Japan's 127 million in the size of California. They really know how to pack them in over there, the bullet trains. If anybody on business ever flown into Tokyo, Narita, okay, I see that hand. And how was that, brother? Did you get on the trains a little bit? Yes, sir. JR, Japanese railroads. Did you do the Shinkansen or the bullet train? Okay, the Shinkansen's a pretty neat thing. Those bullet trains. I wish America would have got on that. Europe did. Japan has, and now China's trying to copy it, and they have some safety issues right now. They're trying. They really do. They try to take something that some other country made, and then they try to make it quickly. I guess most of you understand they make Apple products as well. Probably about 95% of all your Apple products are made in Shanghai or mainland Japan, but not Japan, in China. So anyway, that's where we are. We're in southeast, or the southern part of Japan. We're about 1,000 miles southwest of Tokyo on that small island. And God's doing a great thing. And come back tonight, I'll give you a report. Some have asked since I got here this morning about what about the earthquake, the tsunami, the nuclear meltdown, and I'll talk about that briefly. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of James, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, the day was March 11, 2011. My wife and I just went out on a date. We had lunch. We try to get together at least once or twice a month where we can just go out and have lunch, talk. If she needs something, you know, a pair of shoes or something, I may buy her. You know, Japanese people and Asian people in general never think about themselves. They're always thinking about others. And that's my wife. And I said, honey, you really need to get some shoes. Matter of fact, we're not going to leave the store until you buy a pair of shoes. Now, please buy a pair of shoes today. So I got her to buy a pair of shoes, and we just got home, flipped on. In Japan, we flipped on the TV after we heard this because they have a thing called a Kominkan, which is a community center in every single city in Okinawa and Japan, and everything started going off. You know, alert, alert, jishin desu, earthquake, earthquake. When there's an earthquake in Japan, every single cell phone receives a alert 10 seconds before it happens. Cell phones are going off, everything, and then they say a tsunami warning, tsunami. Now, tsunami, nami is wave in Japanese, su is the kanji for big or oki, so it's like it's a big wave, that's what it means. And how many of y'all saw that on TV when that tsunami came into Japan and hit there in Fukushima and Sendai? And it's called Tohoku, the northeastern part of mainland Japan. And what happened was is that wave didn't look that big, really, when it was coming in and they're showing shots of it. And literally it just started coming across the land and over 20,000 people slipped off into eternity that day. And in James chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." When you think about the earth, you think about the weather in the last 5 years, the earthquakes, you know, Sandy in New Jersey, the Barrier Reef Islands of New Jersey. That's where I was born originally, Long Beach Island, the Jersey Shore, Seaside, and all those areas. They got really hit hard. Long Beach Island is an 18-mile island, and say this is the main boulevard that goes down Long Beach Island. It's probably about the size of this church, maybe the auditorium, all the way back, and that goes 18 miles long. You have the ocean on this side and the bay on this side. They met, and there was 5 feet of sand all the way down that boulevard, as far as you can see. $25 million in damage. And that's just Long Beach Island. That's not Pleasantville. That's not, we're up in Long Island, I believe, got hit pretty hard. So the weather storms have really been kind of pretty intense the last 5 years. And people say, my mom asked me when I was in New Jersey, who's not a Christian, she said, "Do you believe that, you know, all this stuff is happening because God's trying to get America's, you know, attention?" I said, "Well, you know, God's in control of everything, Mom, so I don't know, but, I mean, you're not a Christian. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." So that earthquake, 2 weeks later, there was a group of independent Baptist missionaries from like 4 or 5 different boards. We decided together that we're going to go up into a city called Kesenuma, close to Sendai. And I had a friend in the Marines. He took some helicopter shots. They were unclassified shots, and he sent them to me from a helicopter, and that city of Kesenuma was completely destroyed. Now, folks, when I say destroyed, I mean life, food, houses, clothes. It was all gone, everything. And now some of it's starting to wash up in the United States of America, up in, I believe, Washington, Seattle area, that up there. Is that where you were, Pastor? Or, okay, up that way. I've never been up that part of the United States. And anyway, all that started to happen, and then we went up there and worked in the tsunami earthquake zone for 2 weeks, 16 hours a day. It was like a military operation. We set up a camp. We had satellites. We had Geiger counters. Like I felt like I was back in the Corps. I really did. And we had all this stuff going on there, and on the way up, we are on the, what is it in English, the expressway. And they call it a Kosokodoro in Japanese, but anyway. Now I'm doing better today. About a month ago when I came here, I was in Japanese probably 80% of the time when I was trying to think. Now it's about half and half, so praise the Lord for that. And anyway, it was Steve Kanner, Dan Gardner Sr., and myself, and those are two BIMI missionaries, and I'm with Baptist World Mission. And our car, well, Brother Steve's van was pretty old. I said, "Brother Steve, why are you shaking your van?" He said, "I'm not shaking my van." He said, "That's an earthquake." They had a 7.4 aftershock. They completely shut down the expressway, and we pull off over into a parking area, swung back to Koryama Baptist Church, which is Pastor Tajima, and we stay there for the night. Eventually, we went up, and I remember three things. Number one, the first thing I remember when we got into the zone, there was three smells that really you can smell. Number one, kerosene. You can smell kerosene because kerosene runs a lot of the stuff as far as stoves and things like that. You can smell kerosene. Secondly, you smell dead fish. You smell like dead fish. And the third thing you can smell was dead people. Now, I know that smell. I've smelled it before when I worked in the military, and it's not a good smell. And you mix that. I'm sorry, folks. I know you just had breakfast, but you mix that. It's not the best thing in the world. So in Japan, they wear masks, and it's actually a pretty good idea. When somebody's sick, they wear, like, if you go to the hospital, they have these masks. They take about 98% of all the, they filter all the air and kind of makes you feel healthy or not get as sick. And the self-defense force guys were telling us, why don't you guys have masks? And I was asking the same question. I said, you know, we need to get some of those masks. But when we worked in the zone, I'll tell you right now, what a need in Kesanuma for a church. And there's some missionaries that are gone. We're trying to plant a church. And we passed out probably 20,000 Bibles, tracts. We had food. We had clothing. We were being financed by a Christian man, a very wealthy Christian man in Kansas, and he was sending all the money to bring these huge amounts of food into the people, and we would set food runs up, and we, you know, can you imagine your life, like, you look at your house today, you look at your car, you look at your job, you look at your family, and then just think, it's all gone. Everything you ever worked for, your cell phones, your computers, your houses are gone, your grandchildren are gone, your kids are gone. I met a Japanese guy in a Kominkan with this other missionary, Steve Kanner, and he asked him, he said, is there anything you need for you and your family? He said, I don't have my family. My wife died. My grandchildren died. My house is gone. He asked for a pair of rubber boots, so like he works in the field. This guy's life was shattered. I'll tell you right now, I have the picture, I look at it often. They lost everything, folks. And you know, the worst thing we can lose as a Christian is our soul. And probably 99% of those people that died that day were not Christians. About 1% of the Japanese. One out of every 100 are Christian in Japan. So, think about Japan. Japan is 14 hours ahead of us, so it is 9:40 in the morning. It is 11:40 Sunday night. Our church has had all its services. The ministries are done. Sunday school's done. I have a young man. I'll talk a little bit more about him tonight, Takashi. He's 22 years old. He's gotten saved. He was saved under Jim Norton. He preached maybe 8 years ago at my church. Takashi right now is surrendered for full-time Christian service. He's 2 years into our Bible Institute, and I have a national pastor, Pastor Saito, training him every Tuesday in the Bible. Now, you folks had a part in that ministry because our church building is done. Now, as far as they paid for the church years ago, we have a national training. I'll probably have to work with him 4 or 8 years. They won't accept the national until he's probably in his early 30s as a pastor. They don't take any young people into the ministry in Japan. So pray for Takashi. He helps me a lot in the ministry. He leads the services. I have him doing things because a missionary is sent out from his home church. My sending agency, of course, is Baptist World Mission, but all my authority rests on my home church, which is Emmanuel Baptist Church in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. And as you support our work, every Christian that has been saved, and there's been people that have been saved and baptized, and you're going to see pictures of them tonight, that this church has a reward in heaven because of what you did in Faith Promise giving. And in that, we are very grateful and thankful as you're a missionary in Japan. So somebody said this acronym, Japan is just the prayer at night. When you're going to bed at night, if you would pray for our family, we're just waking up in the morning. And I want to talk to you briefly this morning about the importance of prayer for your missionaries. Because prayer takes a lot of work. And Satan will do everything he can to keep you off of your knees. And I believe that there are some hindrances in our lives that can affect our prayer life. Because if the church is not strong and the family is not strong and you have no contact with God in your prayer life, then that affects all aspects of the ministry, including here, including on the field, and in your own lives. So let's look at these. I don't know how far I'll get through. Pastor, you said 10 after? 5 after, 10 after? Okay, thank you. Got to put the watch down, folks. I know you all. I was looking for a clock, and I remember last time I was here, I was looking for a clock, and you don't have a clock. So, big old clock right there. But in 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. It's a great promise from the Word of God. That word confess means to agree with God. Psalm 66, verse 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So if we have any type of sin in our lives, we ought to get rid of it, because when we pray, if we have sin in our lives, then God, He won't even hear our prayers until we're right. So I'm thankful for the promise of 1 John 1:9, because daily cleansing is so important from the Word of God. We're here in James. Look at James chapter 4, verse 3. That's real basic, unconfessed sin. I mean, daily we need to read the Word of God. We need to pray. Here we go. My mind's going in Japanese again. We need to oinori, anoseisho, yonta. Okay. The third thing in James chapter 4, verse 3, let's look at it. The Bible says, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. What is James saying is, he's saying that we're praying due to our selfishness, or we're praying for things because we just want things. Now, folks, listen, there's nothing wrong with things, but when we put our things above God, then they can easily can become an idol. For example, if your cell phone is more important to you, young people, than souls of your unsaved friends, there's a problem with that. Because I understand cell phones are convenient, but they'll steal your time. Now, you're looking at a missionary who Japanese kids, they live for their cell phones. In Japan, young people, they go to school at 8:30 in the morning. They shut that gate at 8:30. If you're not through that gate, you're not going to school. You can't be tardy. You're done. They come in uniforms. They go to school at 8:30. They clean their own schools. Guys that play sports, baseball, they line their own fields. They cut their own fields. They live with their coach their whole time they're in high school, these baseball teams. And they eat together, they clean, they do it all. And the Japanese kid would normally go from 8:30 in the morning, and they get home about 9 o'clock at night. And that's their normal day, 12 hours a day. Their friends and that cell phone of theirs. But when they go to school, they can't have a cell phone. They can't have a cell phone. So the Japanese, they put a lot of emphasis on education. But highest suicide rate in the world amongst teenagers. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about one of the hardest struggles in my life as a missionary happened. A couple years ago, I had a young lady take her life, 22 years old. And she had an eating disorder, And when somebody is sick in Japan, mentally, physically, they pump them up with pills. A lot worse than here. And this girl took so much medicine, gave her suicide tendencies, and she took her life. Her name was Aoi. She was a beautiful young lady, has so much going for her. She played the piano. Mother was a godly Christian woman. Father was unsaved. Her dad would always help her learn the Word of God. His name is Mr. Shimabukuro. First name is Tsunomu. And he, at her funeral, our church is, maybe from your baptistry to the pastor. That's about it. That's our church size. We had 400 people at her funeral. And I had a chance to preach the gospel to 400 people. And her dad stood up and he said, "I hope to see my daughter in heaven." And he's unsaved. Now, folks, I don't understand all this. It was hard. 8 days later, her father called me early in the morning. He said, "I need to meet with you." He said, "I can't sleep. I want to go to heaven. I want to see my daughter." He said, "Will you tell me and show me again from the Word of God how I can be saved?" And that day, he was saved. Now, folks, I don't understand all that. But it was a difficult time. So praying for your missionaries is essential, because you have no idea some of the things that they're dealing with on the field. I'll give you another example. In August, in Japan, they have a thing called the obon. And the obon is they receive their dead ancestors back from the life. And they beat drums and they do a dance called the Asa. And a lot of the U.S. military folks say, "Oh, that is so cool. Look at that folk dance, all the real pretty uniforms, and they're out there beating these drums and doing these dances." And they start taking pictures. And what it is they believe 3 days and three nights their dead ancestors are coming back from their life, more or less. They have an altar. It's called a Butsudan altar. And it's in the eldest son, the oldest son's house. And they come to this altar and they offer incense and they leave food for the spirits. Now, what would we call that? You can say it. Idolatry. In Japanese, they call it guzo rehai. And that's idolatry. And that's how they think that they're earning merit to get to heaven. The Bible says, not by the works of our... It says, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So, what can hinder our prayers in a local church? Number one, unconfessed sin. Number two, selfishness. Number three, praying for show. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Now, when I was in a Roman Catholic church, this is one of the things that I went to a priest one day and I just kind of said, "What is all this?" You know, it didn't make sense to me as a young teenager. You know, how some of the things that they do, their rituals, their sacraments, the works, things like that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Now, bear with me, folks. Recently, went to the optometrist. Thought I needed glasses. They said, "You're eating a lot of fish there in Japan. You got 3 to 5 years, but you need those OTC, over-the-counter 1.0s. Or you can go 1.5. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So I'm going to pick one. I need to go to Walgreens or one of those places and get a pair of those things, because when you get and you look at kanji, and I'll have my book on our table later, you come by and look at that kanji, and when you get in a Japanese Bible, that becomes really, really small. And sometimes when I'm preaching in Japanese, I'm going like this. I'm going in and out. But it's not too bad with the English Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. "And when you pray," or prayest, "thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and then in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of what? Men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But here's the admonition by the Lord Jesus Christ. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. What a promise from the Word of God. One of the things is that you can pray anywhere, no matter whose home you're in. And I'll tell you, Brother John and Maddie have been very gracious to me last night. Folks, we had a feast. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable, the food that we had last night. And it was healthy. Praise the Lord. You can have a lot of food, and it was healthy food. It wasn't. And sometimes when you're in a missions conference, you eat really good every single day. And then you come home to your host family, and they said, and the lady of the house would say, "Oh, Brother Starin, I got the small dessert for you and your family." And it's about 9 o'clock in the missions conference, and they got like a double decker cheesecake with strawberries and all this other stuff for you. Now, if you're in someone's house and they're hosting you and they offer you a dessert, would you eat it? Everybody's saying, "Yeah, I would eat that." Well, imagine that for like 6 months to a year, almost every day of your life. And praise the Lord for Weight Watchers. Amen. I got on that with that little app, that little scanner thing. I've dropped about 15, maybe 17 pounds since I've been home, and I'm trying to get back to pre-deputation weight. And that was 165, folks, 165. I was a Marine. I don't like to carry it, but it's hard when you're out there traveling. We logged 3,200 miles in January on our Camry. And when I was in Michigan, this is an interesting story. They said, "Brother Starin, I noticed that you have a Toyota." That's GMC country out there, folks. And this one guy who worked at Ford, he said, "Brother, now you know how I feel." Every single week in my church at Faith Baptist Church, John Lewis, in Davison, Michigan, this guy said, "I'm the only Ford guy, and there's a lot of retired GMC guys there." And I said, "Folks, it's just a car, you know, don't. But up there in Michigan, GMC, Chrysler, Ford, that stuff's really important, and it should be. It should be. So, praying for show. Let's look at another one. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke and Luke chapter 18. Now, folks, the reason why I'm sharing this with you is this is just something that God has taught me recently about just the importance of prayer. And when I get to number 5, that's really where I want to get, because I think that's where we can have revival in our own lives and in our churches. But the fourth is Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. Let's start reading there. Luke 18, verse 9. "And he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves, and that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee said," stood, "and prayed with himself." Now, folks, look at this. And circle in your Bibles every time he said watashi in Japanese. It's I. Okay? Watashi is Japanese. Okay? So, Brother John, remember? Shunikansha? Praise the Lord. You can remember that, folks. Shu, like shu. You know, shu in Japanese, they would say kutsu, ne? But it's shunikansha is praise the Lord in Japanese. Can you all say that? Shunikansha. So whenever I see it today, I'm going to come up and say, "Praise the Lord" in Japanese. And you just come back and say, "Shunikansha." So now you know a word. Shu, ni is the word for two. And then kansha, kansha sudo means to praise. So we're praising the Lord. So the kanji is not shu, S-H-O-E. It's S-H-U with a long sound on it in Japanese. So that's your Japanese lesson for Sunday school. Dodesuka minasan. That means, how was that? Is that okay? Okay. I got to translate here. So, shunikansha. And then he said this in verse 11. And the Pharisee said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, "God, I thank thee," there's number one, "that I, too, am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as a publican, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Folks, that's another promise. If you mark your Bible, I would put a P next to that and circle it. It's a promise from God. It is a principle from the Word of God. The way up is down. And I'll tell you, this society that we live in, I have not been back here in 6 or 7 years, but I'll tell you, the United States of America has changed in the last 5 years. I don't know if it's good or bad. It all depends what state you're in. But I'll tell you right now, things are changing around the world and here in the States. Young people are a huge concern. Now, I'm not talking here in the church or Christian schools and things like that. I'm talking young people in general in society. When you go to the mall and you look at young people today, do they respect their authorities? Do they honor their parents? Not in all cases, folks. And we need to pray. And we need to be careful about having a proud look. I'm a Christian. Look at that wicked sinner over there. I'll tell you, folks, only by the grace of God. You know, when God saved me, I was in the Marines, 26 years old. I didn't have the greatest life up to 26. And I don't dwell on that. And I'm thankful that God saved me. And He saved you. But the whole thing is, we ought not to look down at other people because we're a Christian. When we look at that person, we should have a burden for them and say, that person needs to be saved. They need to hear the gospel. We need to share what Jesus Christ has done in our lives with them. And so we ought not to be proud when we pray. We ought to be humble. Now, I'm only going to get to 5. I have 10 of these. But this is the most important thing I'm going to say this morning. Number 5, what is the fifth hindrance of prayer? Is unresolved conflicts in your life. Ephesians chapter 4. You say, what is that in Japanese? Epistle. Yon sho san jun ni setsu. That's 4, verse 32. Let's start at verse 29. Let no corrupt, that word corrupt means deceitful, hurtful, or critical communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is a good of use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. So people are listening to your words. Okay? So if you want to check your speech today, and my speech, if you have destructive speech, if you have hurtful speech, or if you're a critical person, you have unresolved conflicts in your life. And you need to get right with God. You may be 15, you may be 50, or you may be 70 years old, and you may be holding on to a grudge. And I'm telling you, folks, this is holding back revival in Christians' lives and in churches across the world. When I was 10 years old, my parents divorced. My dad committed adultery on my mother. We went from living a wealthy or a good middle-class life down to almost poverty. My mom started working 2 to 3 jobs in South Jersey. My brother Dave and I started working when we were 12, 13 years old, going to school full-time, working 30 to 40 hours a week, trying to help out pay for things. And to be honest with you this morning, from 10 years old to 26 years old, I hated my father. I had bitterness in my heart. I did not forgive my father. And one day, August 2nd, 1992, Maranatha Baptist Church, Okinawa, Japan, BIMI, U.S. military work, 40 years, over 350 men are in full-time Christian service in that church, and you're looking at one, heard the gospel and I got saved. That same afternoon, I went through a baptism class. I got baptized. The Bible says, they that gladly receive the word were baptized, Acts 2:42. There's no waiting period. I got to our church in Japan. They had something going on where they have to go through this class, and they have to, you know, 3-4 months later, you know, this previous missionary, and I said, I don't see it in Scripture. They that gladly received the word were baptized. When a person gets saved, they're supposed to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It's a step of obedience. So I read the Gospel of John that first Sunday. You remember when you're saved? How excited you were? How you felt like God just took the burden, I mean all your sin, and He buried it in the bottom of the ocean, and you just felt like, you feel like you're almost liberated, like you've taken this huge, like, power, God power washed you, you know? He just cleansed you from all your sin. And what a blessing. And I started, they said, you need to read, you know, the New Testament. You know, you don't need to start in, you know, 1 and 2 Kings or something like that, or, you know, all those lists of the Old Testament that we love to read through in our yearly Bible and wonder, Lord, why do we have to read all these lineages and things like that? And anyway, one day I was reading through and I got to Ephesians. I got to this portion of Scripture. And the Bible says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now I want everyone to read verse 32. Okay, let's read 32 together this morning. In your Bibles, Ephesians 4:32. Ready? Begin. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, folks, let me ask you something. Has Christ forgiven us? Amen? If He's forgiven us, who are we to hold a grudge? You know, evangelist Mike Pelletier, Dr. Ron Comfort's son-in-law, said this, and I wrote it down in my Bible. He says, spiritual maturity is not when you find fault in others. Spiritual maturity is when you find fault in yourself. And you know, my biggest problem is the guy I look in the mirror and see every single day. And if we just deal with our own selves, then we won't have to worry about everyone that's around us and what they're doing, is because all we need to do is deal with the biggest problem. And that, in my life, it's a guy that I'm looking at in the mirror every single day. So I remember the Holy Spirit, the Spirit said, what about your relationship with your dad? And I called my dad from Okinawa, Japan. And back then, they didn't have Skype. They didn't have Vantage. We didn't have Facebook, Twitter. Man, how could we get along? All these social network things. They had KDD, and it cost a lot of money per minute. And they had these places you had to go onto the Air Force Base, and you have to sign up to use these telephones that it cost a lot of money to call back to the United States. I called my dad and I said, Dad, I got saved recently. He said, what do you mean saved? And I told him what Jesus did for me, and I said, I've had bitterness in my life for 16 years, and I need you to forgive me. And he said, son, you know, he didn't know what to say. And since then, and then 10 years later, my dad got saved. But I've said all that to say this, that if you're at Market Manor Baptist Church, great independent, premillennial, Bible-believing, Baptist church, Christian school, good Christian homes, good kids, and you have unresolved conflicts in your life, you're holding back revival in this church and in your own heart. And all I'm saying is, hear from me, just get that thing right. If there's somebody in your life that you need to get right with, just get right with them. You say, you don't know what they did to me. I don't care what they did to you, honestly. God's grace can give forgiveness, and we ought to forgive. In 1 Peter 3, in verse 7, that's the last verse. I'm just teaching this morning. I'm not preaching. Maybe come back tonight, maybe I'll do a little bit of that. First Peter chapter 3, husbands, wives, this is for us. Verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, give an honor unto thy wife, unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace, that your prayers be not hindered. If you're married, marriage is a good thing. All you married men, say amen there. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Marriage is a good thing, and our kids are a blessing. And there's a young man who wants to marry my daughter right now. You pray for me. I don't know about that. She's 22 years old right now, and you know, she used to be my baby. And so this guy is through the microscope right now. I'm checking him out in depth, and I think he's going to ask her after graduation, give her a ring, but we'll see about that. We're still praying about that. He's a good guy. I just don't know. You know, Dad, you know this. If you're giving your girls away, you almost feel like nobody is good enough for your first girl. Like some of you son-in-laws that are sitting in here, maybe you're saying amen to that, right? Amen. So if you're husband and wife and there's a problem between you two, you guys need to continue to get that thing right quickly. If you have a mishap or a little step or I don't want to call it a fight. Why? Because your prayers would be hindered. So we're talking about hindrances of prayer, unconfessed sin, selfishness, praying for show, a proud spirit, unresolved conflicts. And how important is it? Your missionaries depend on your prayers. You know, getting a prayer request from a missionary is an important thing because they wouldn't send them out unless it was important. And now with the internet and instant communication on our cell phones, there is so much more that we can do before they would have to send letters and it would take weeks or months to get back. Can you imagine Carrie, Justin, and all those guys, and us today? Unbelievable. So folks, it is a blessing to be back here at Market Manor Baptist Church. We are the Sterren family, your missionaries in Okinawa, Japan. I would say this in Japanese. I would say something like, Jikan ga attara. That means if you have time. Dozo, kite kudasai. That means please come and visit. So if you all ever want to come and visit Okinawa, please come. We enjoy people coming too. Now, grab a prayer card. Not just put it on your refrigerator door and when you look at our family you get sick and, you know, use that as a diet thing, you know. Just grab one of those and pray for us. And seriously, about the challenge this morning from God's Word, if you have any unresolved conflicts in your life, and I'll tell you, I've preached this message for every time I do a Sunday school, every single church I've been in, since I've been home on furlough, people have come up to me after the service and we've talked. And there are some people that have gotten right with God and right with other people. Because you know what? The ultimate goal is individual revival, revival in the church, missionaries going out to the fields, and fulfilling the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we